Let's go back to your situation now, where I was asking you to be honest with this other person, but honesty defined in nonviolent communication terms. That's half the process, learning how to express ourselves in this way. The other half of the process is how we respond to other people's messages. And to prepare us to see how nonviolent communication suggests responding to other people, let's go back to your situation and use your imagination. Imagine that now you try out what we've learned so far. You decide to go to this person and be honest with them in the way I'm defining. So you tell the other person the four things I've asked you to write down. You tell them what they've done that you don't like, how you feel, what needs of yours aren't met, and what your request is. Now predict how they might respond. And write that down. Now let me tell you what many people are afraid would happen if they open up and reveal themselves, to reveal honestly what's alive in them and what would make life more wonderful. Many people are afraid they're going to get a free diagnosis from the other person. The other person's going to tell them what's wrong with them for having these feelings, needs, and requests. They're afraid they'll hear things like, "You're too sensitive. That's sick." This can happen, of course. We live in a world where people think that way. So if we are really open and honest, we might get back these diagnoses. So nonviolent communication prepares us for how to deal with any response that might come back. Other people are afraid of silence. They say, "What if I open up and reveal myself and the other person is silent?" Yeah, we got to prepare for that. Many people are so afraid of this tiny little two-letter word, "No." They say, "What if I open up and say what I want and I need, and the other person says, no?" Okay, so look at what you wrote down. We want to prepare for anything that can come back at us. So what's the other half of nonviolent communication? The other half shows us how to make empathic connection with what's alive in the other person and what would make life more wonderful for the other person. So let me tell you what I mean by empathic connection. Empathy, of course, is a special kind of understanding. It's not an understanding of the head where we just mentally understand what another person says. It's something far deeper and more precious than that. Empathic connection is an understanding of the heart, where we see the beauty in the other person, the divine energy in the other person, the life that's alive in them. We connect with it. We don't mentally understand it. We connect with it. It doesn't mean we have to feel the same feelings as the other person. That's sympathy when we feel sad, maybe that another person is upset. No, it doesn't mean we have to have the same feelings. It means that we are with the other person. This quality of understanding requires one of the most precious gifts one human being can give to another, our presence in the moment. You see, if we're mentally trying to understand the other person, we're not present with them at this moment. We're sitting there analyzing them, but we're not with them. So empathic connection involves connecting with what is alive in the other person at this moment. So look again now at what you predicted, how the other person might respond. And let's say that you have told your boss that you are frustrated at his or her asking you to stay over for the third night in a row and do additional work. You're frustrated with that because you have other commitments and needs that you'd like to take care of. So you've been honest about your reasons for not wanting to do it, and you ended on a clear request. You're asking him, "Would you be willing to find someone else to help with this work this evening, boss?" Okay? So you've been real honest and vulnerable, and now let's imagine that the boss says to you, "If you want to be unemployed, I'll do as you request." Okay. What choices do you have now? Let me show you what choices you have with every message coming at you from another person. Choice number one, you could take it personally as though what you said indicated there was something wrong with you. So if the boss responds to you that way, you could immediately think, oh, I am being selfish, or I'm not a very good employee that to want not to do what the boss says. And so you could take personally what the boss says. We have been educated when authorities tell us what's wrong with us to think there's something wrong with us. What I'm going to show you now will suggest that you never, never, never hear what other people think about you. I predict you'll live longer, you'll enjoy life more, if you never hear what people think about you. Never take it personally. Second choice we have when somebody speaks to us like the boss spoke in this example I'm giving, we could judge the boss or the other person for what they said to us. So we could either think or say out loud, that's not fair, that's stupid, you, whatever. We could blame the other person for what they said. I wouldn't recommend that. So the recommendation I have is to learn to connect empathically with any message coming at us from other people. And nonviolent communication shows us a way of doing that. It shows us a way of seeing the beauty in the other person at any given moment, regardless of their behavior or their language. We'll see that it requires connecting with the other person's feelings and needs at this moment. See, that's what's alive in them. And when we do, we're going to hear the other person singing a very beautiful song. I was working with some 12-year-olds in a school out in the state of Washington, showing them how to make empathic connections with people. And they wanted me to show them how they could deal with parents and teachers. They were afraid that if they opened up and revealed what was alive in them, what they would get back. One of the students said, for example, Marshall, yesterday I was honest with one of my teachers. I said I didn't understand, and I asked her, would you explain it again? And the teacher said, don't you listen? I've explained it twice already. Another young man said, I asked my dad yesterday for something. I tried to express my needs to him, and he said, you're the most selfish child in the family. So they were very eager to have me show them how to empathically connect with the people in their lives who use language like that, because they only knew to take it personally, to think there was something wrong with them. So I showed the students that if you learn how to connect empathically with other people, you will hear that they're always singing a beautiful song. And then I played this song for the students to show them that this is what you will hear behind every message coming at you from another human being if you connect to the divine energy in that person at that moment.
See me beautiful. Look for the best in me. That's what I really am, and all I want to be. It may take some time, it may be hard to find, but see me beautiful. See me beautiful. Each and every day, could you take a chance? Could you find a way to see me shining through in everything I do and see me beautiful?
I was working in a refugee camp in a country not very pleased with the United States. And when my interpreter announced that I was an American citizen. There were about 170 people assembled. One of them jumped up and screamed at me, "Murderer!" Another one jumped up, "Child killer!" Another one, "Assassin!" I was glad I knew nonviolent communication that day. It enabled me to see the beauty behind that person's message, what was alive in him. And we do that in nonviolent communication by hearing feelings and needs behind any message. So I said to this gentleman, "Are you feeling angry because your need for support isn't getting met by my country?" Now that required me to try to sense what he was feeling and needing. I could have been wrong. But even if we're wrong, if we are sincerely trying to connect with the divine energy in another human being, their feelings, their needs at that moment, that shows the other person that no matter how they communicate with us, we care about what's alive in them. And when persons trust that, we're well on our way to making a connection that everybody's needs can get met. But it didn't happen right away because this gentleman was in a lot of pain. And it happened that I guessed right, because when I said, "Are you angry because your need for support isn't being met by my country?" he said, "You're darn right." And then he added to that, "We don't have sewage systems. We don't have housing. Why are you sending your weapons?" So I said, "So, sir, if I'm hearing you again, you're saying that it's very painful when you need things like sewage systems and you need things like housing, and when weapons are sent instead, it's very painful." He said, "You're darn right. Do you know what it's like to live under these conditions for 28 years? So, sir, you're saying that it's very painful and you need some understanding for the conditions that you're living under." An hour later, the gentleman invited me to a Ramadan dinner at his house. This is what happens when we can connect with the humanness in each other, the feelings and needs behind any message. This doesn't mean we always have to say it out loud. Sometimes it's pretty obvious what a person is feeling and needing. We don't have to say it. They'll feel it from our eyes whether we are really trying to disconnect with them. Notice this does not require that we agree with the other person. It doesn't mean we have to like what they're saying. It means that we give them this precious gift of our presence, to be present to, at this moment, what's alive in this person, and that we are interested in that, sincerely interested, not as a psychological technique, but because we want to connect with the beauty in that person at this moment. Now, when we put this all together, then, what it looks like is this. We may start a dialogue with the other person by telling them what's alive in us and what we would like them to do to make life more wonderful for us. Then no matter how they respond, we try to connect with what's alive in them and what would make life more wonderful for them. And we keep this flow of communication going until we find strategies to meet everybody's needs. And we want to always be sure that whatever strategies people agree to, they're agreeing out of a desire to contribute to the well-being of one another, and not out of the strategies that I've outlined that we want to avoid, strategies of submitting to punishment, guilt, etc. Many people believe that there are some people you cannot do this with. They believe that some people are so damaged, so whatever, that no matter what communication you use, you're not going to arrive at this point. That has not been my experience. It's been my experience that with the time that it takes, and sometimes it does take some time, if I'm working with some prisoners in various prisons that I work in throughout the world, I'm not saying that this connection can happen right away. It may take quite a while for some people to really trust that I'm sincerely interested in what's alive in them. It's not easy to stay with that sometimes because my own cultural conditioning hasn't allowed me to be fluent earlier in my life at this. So in learning this, it can be a real challenge. I recall one time when I was first learning it, my older son and I were having a conflict. And he was saying things, and my first reaction was not to connect with what was alive in him, what he was feeling and needing. I wanted to jump in and show him he was wrong. So I had to take a deep breath, see what was going on in me for a moment and see that I was losing connection with him, and then bring my attention back to saying to him, so you're feeling and you're needing, try to connect with him. Then he said something else, and again I got triggered, and I had to slow down, take a deep breath, to be able to keep coming back and seeing what was alive in him. And of course, this was taking me a longer time to talk than my usual conversation had been up until that point. And he had some friends waiting for him outside, and finally he said, Daddy, it's taken you so long to talk. I said, let me tell you what I can say quickly. Do it my way or I'll kick your ass. He said, take your time, Dad. Take your time. So nonviolent communication requires that we take our time. Take our time to come from our divine energy rather than our cultural programming.
This concludes session 1. Our program continues with session 2.